it's special. I'd like to turn tonight to the book of Acts, chapter 27. Book of Acts, chapter 27. Very familiar passage of Scripture, one that we've preached from many times, in verses 14 through verse 25. Not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighted the ship. And the third day we cast out with their own hands the tacklings of the ship. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. In this chapter, Paul is on a prison ship on his way to face the judgment of the Roman Emperor Caesar. It goes back to his arrest, which is recorded in Acts chapter 21, verses 27 through verse 40. In this chapter, we have a description of some of the details of Paul's trip to Rome. And according to verse 37, there were 276 people aboard that ship. But just prior to our text, we read in verse 13, the south wind blew softly. But then we read in verse 14, but not long after, there arose suddenly and without warning a tempestuous or a violent and turbulent wind called Euroclydon. So we see that it was a time of change. It went from a south wind to a tempestuous wind. We see also that it was a time of great danger. We see also that it was a time when everything seemed to be out of control. As you read verse 15 and verse 18, we see that everything seems to be out of control. In verse 19, we see that it was a time of great loss. They cast over the tacklings of the ship. In verse 20, we see that it was a time of darkness and no direction whatsoever. It was also a time of hopelessness in verse 20. We see that all hope was gone, that they should be saved. So the whole chapter is about storms, contrary winds, storms and winds that come upon all of us. The question, again, is not if the storms will come. They will. The question is, what do you do when you find yourself in such situations? What do you do when you find yourself in the midst of change that you do not necessarily, or you would not necessarily have chosen? What do you do when you find yourself in the midst of a storm in the darkness and when there seems to be no direction? direction. What do you do when you find yourself in the midst of a storm? What do you do when the storms begin to beat upon you and it looks like for a certainty that you're going to suffer some sort of shipwreck? Then, of course, the question is, can we know what to do? And I believe we can. I believe the Bible teaches us exactly what we are to do. And then another question is, can we survive? Can you and I survive the storms? And I believe the Lord here in Acts chapter 27 teaches us some valuable lessons on how to handle the storms, how to handle a crisis. And it is important. It's important that we learn how. It's important that we know how to handle the storms of our life, because if we don't, the storms are going to handle us. And what a big difference. There are so many today that are handled by all the different winds that come upon them, all the different changes that come upon them, rather than them handling their storms by the grace of God. So we want to speak this evening on survival skills for the storms and crisis of life, because we're all going to have storms. We're all going to have some times of crisis. But before we consider how to handle the storms and how to handle the crisis, there's some wonderful truths taught here in Acts chapter 27. First of all, we learn that God always has things in place for the storms. God always knows what storm is going to come into your life. He knows long before you do. He knows all about it. He knows everything that you're going to need in that storm. And God has a way of having things in place for the storms. He puts the right people in the right places at the right time for our storms. And we see that here in Acts chapter 27. We see that, first of all, God made sure that Luke was there with Paul on board that ship, and I'm sure that was of great help to Paul. You say, well, how do you know that Luke was there? Well, Acts 27 and verse 1 says, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy." We. Luke's the writer of the book of Acts. So Luke was with Paul. We know that from the word we. There was also, as you read in verse 1 and verse 3, there was a man there by the name of Julius. And we see that Julius was a man who treated Paul well. And he was a man who allowed Paul to fellowship with some friends in Sidon. Notice again in verse 1, we see Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. In verse 2, and entered into a ship. We launched, meaning to say, I want verse 3, and the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty. Now, Paul's a prisoner. Gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And I believe that's referring to friends there in Sidon. So God put Luke there. God put Julius there, who treated Paul courteously, and then he put the people in Sidon there. And I believe he did all of this for Paul, to prepare Paul for the storm. But you notice also that the Lord arranges events in order to make provisions for the storm. It's a wonderful thing to know the sovereignty of God. It's a wonderful thing to know that God's in control. You see, because a God who's in control can put the right people at the right places at the right time. And a God who is in control arranges events to make provisions for our future storms. We see that God caused some contrary winds to blow, causing the ship to change its course and coming to a city of Lydia. And we read there in verse 4, "And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary." We went under Cyprus, and the reason we did so, it wasn't the ordinary route to take, but we did that because the winds were contrary. Now, who sent the winds? God did. And God sent contrary winds. And then notice in verse 5, "And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia." And there, in Lycia, and the reason they're in Lycia is because of contrary winds. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria, which were some of the best ships and the bigger ships, and it was sailing into Italy, exactly where they were going. And he put us therein. So they changed ships. Why did God have them change ships? Because there was a storm coming. There was a storm. Was going to come. You see, God worked events out to provide for them in their storm. And God provided a bigger ship. God provided a better ship for the storm that Paul and these other passengers were going to face. So there's so much here in the book of Acts. But again, it's good to know that when we face storms, when we face a crisis, God has a way of putting the right people in the right places at the right time. And God has a way, if you look at your life before storms have come into your life, and if you were to examine it, you would find out that God has arranged events before your storm to make provisions just for your storm. And again, I'm glad that I know that God can and does do just that. But let's look at some of the ways that Paul survived this storm. First of all, we need to go back to the book of Acts chapter 20. And we want to read verses 22 through verse 24. Paul and the Ephesian elders, and he says, "Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." He says, I've got to go to Jerusalem. I am bound. The Spirit of God is leading me to go there. I've got to go. And I have no idea what's going to happen there, but I've got to go. And verse 23, he says, "The only thing I do know is that the Holy Spirit witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." He knew that he would suffer. If he went to Jerusalem, he would suffer bonds, he would suffer afflictions. He did not know exactly what all that entailed, but he knew that there would be bonds and afflictions in Jerusalem. Well, that would keep most folks from going. And then verse 24, but he says, "But none of these things," these things referring back to bonds and afflictions, "move me." That is, they do not deter me from my course. I'm bound to go to Jerusalem. "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." The first thing we see concerning Paul, and again, he would go to Jerusalem and he would be arrested. And from there, he makes requests to go to Caesar of Rome, and that's where he's headed now in the book of Acts chapter 27. But what we see here is Paul was prepared to pay any price to do God's will. The best way to get through the storm is that you and I are prepared to pay any price to do the will of the Lord. And that was Paul's spirit. He was determined, to follow Christ, no matter what it cost him. No matter what it cost, he was determined to follow the will of Christ. And in the time of crisis, and when we're in the storms, if we are willing to pay whatever price is necessary just to stay in the will of God, you'll get through the storm. You'll get through it every time. But there has to be that determination. There has to be that willingness. I am going to do the will of God. I am going to follow Christ no matter what it costs me. So we need that mindset before we even enter into the storm. Secondly, we see that Paul used the situation, the storm that we read of here in Acts 27, to proclaim the Lord and to be of help to others. Again, Paul was a prisoner. He was on his way to Rome to stand trial. Could have sat in that boat and felt sorry for himself. But as he's on his way to Rome, we see the storm hits in full force. The waves crush against the hull of the ship. The crew is screaming and the captain is shouting orders. The tension is mounting, and we read that all hope is gone, that they would be saved. And then Paul stands up. And he stands up to encourage the people. He stands up and he says, "Be of good cheer." Everybody else was thinking about the storm. Paul was there to be an encouragement to others. And in the time of storm, when we're going through the storms, when we're going through a crisis, we need to stop and think of others. Because I promise you, you will add to your storm, you will add to your crisis if you get stuck on yourself. And that's what happens most of the time. Most of the time when someone goes through a storm, they get stuck about themselves. Now, the only thing that matters is the storm I'm going through right now. Nothing else matters. No one else matters. It's all about this storm that I'm going through. But the best way to survive the storm, the best way to get through the crisis, is to get your mind off yourself and ask yourself, what can I do to encourage someone else? And Paul stood up and declared the message of God. You see, you and I, we may not be able to alter our circumstances, but we do have some control over our perceptions of our circumstances. And we do have some control over our attitudes. And we certainly have some control over our responses to every situation. So in the time of storm and the time of crisis, think of someone else other than yourself. And ask yourself, what can I do to be a blessing to them? And look for opportunities to be a blessing to someone else. We see also that Paul maintained fellowship with God. He says in verse 3, "For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord." In the very midst of the storm, Paul felt the very presence of God. He maintained fellowship with God in the storm. The worst thing you can do in the time of storm, the worst thing you can do in a crisis, is to depart from God. To go away from God. You need to maintain fellowship. And you notice that this was a very close and a very felt presence. He says, "There stood by me." Every everybody's running all over that ship. And Paul says, there stood by me this night. Now, if somebody is standing by you, you know it. This was real. This was real to Paul. It was a present help. He says, there stood by me this night. And you'll notice there was, he said, saying, there stood by me this night, saying. Now you think about all the voices, all the people that were hollering, and all the people that were shouting that night on that ship. And Paul heard the voice of God. And there's always voices. And every time there's a storm, and every time there's a crisis, there's a lot of background noise. There's a lot of voices. A lot of people, well-meaning people who want to solve your problem. But Paul paid no mind to any of that. He heard from the Lord that night. And the best way to get through the storm, best way to handle a crisis is to hear the voice of God, to feel the presence of God, and to hear the voice of God. So in the midst of a storm, we need to maintain. We need to stay in fellowship with the Lord. That'll get us through. That'll get you through the storm. That will enable you to handle the crisis. We see also that Paul never lost sight of who he was. In verse 23, Paul spoke of belonging to God. He said, whose I am. Through that whole storm, Paul never lost sight who he belonged to. Many times I'm afraid that we forget to whom we belong. And the best way to get through the storm is to always remember to whom you belong. Whose I am. That speaks of grace. That speaks of God's care. That speaks of God's mercy. That speaks of a relationship with the Lord. So Paul, in the midst of the storm, when the winds and the waters are beating upon the ship and in the midst of mass confusion, he realized that he was the absolute property of the Lord. In time of storm, in time of crisis, don't forget to whom you belong. Because that will greatly shape your perception of things. That will greatly shape your attitude. Paul also spoke of being a servant of God. There in the same verse, he said, and whom I serve. Not only must we always remember to whom we belong, we must never lose sight of why we're here. And that is to serve the Lord. If we realize that, if we realize the reason I am here, and it may come as a shock to some, the reason you're here is not just to have a good time. The reason that you are here is to serve God. The reason He gives you air to breathe is to serve Him. That's the reason. Don't forget the reason why you're here. Now, if the storms come and a crisis comes, does that change the reason why we're here? No. Doesn't change it one iota. We're still here for the same reason. We're still here to serve the Lord. And I believe not only did Paul never lose sight of to whom he belonged, he never lost sight of why he was here, he also maintained a desire to serve God. It was in the midst of that storm. Paul wanted to serve God. That was his desire. And that must also be our desire. But I believe also another thing that got Paul through the storm is he realized that God was in control of the winds. He realized that God was in complete control of that storm. And he realized that God's will would be done even if the ship sank. And even if they all drowned, God's will would be done. And he knew that. And he had no doubt about that. So you see, Paul knew that the Lord was the master of the winds. And he knew that God did not send the winds without a purpose. You look at every storm that you have gone through in your life, and if you've learned anything, you'll see that there was always a purpose. There was always a purpose. There was always a reason. So in this chapter, we read of contrary winds that hinder and interfere with our plans. We read that in verses 2 through 4. The winds change their course. And God will send winds into our life that will hinder our plans, that will interfere with our plans. And if you're going to make it through the storm, you had better be able to adapt. You better not just hang on to your plans, but you surrender to the will of God. You surrender to His will. So He sends winds that hinder and interfere our plans. He sends winds that will slow our progress. We see that in verse 7. And when we had sailed slowly many days, they were slowed down. God will send things into our lives that will slow our progress. And we may not like it. But we don't get a vote. He's the master of the wind. It's for us to survive the storm. We see also in verse 8 and 9 that He sends winds that will sometimes make our lives difficult. Notice in verse 8, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lasea. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, times were difficult. You see, God will send some storms into our lives that make our lives difficult. If it was up to us, we'd always have south winds. It would always be smooth sailing. But we wouldn't learn anything. And we wouldn't grow. We see also that the winds can toss us. They can shake us. They can frighten us. Notice verse 18. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. So they were tossed and they were frightened. The winds can also cause us to lose hope of deliverance. Verse 20, we see when all hope was gone and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Sometimes God will send a storm. Sometimes God will send a crisis or allow a storm or allow a crisis. It will cause one to lose hope of deliverance. There's all kinds of storms, all kinds of winds. But it's during all of these winds, during all of these storms, that we must always realize that God's in control of the winds. And I believe Paul knew that from the very beginning of this journey. He knew God was in control of that south wind. He knew God was in control of the contrary wind. He knew God was in control of the difficult wind. He knew God was in control of the wind that caused so much fear and so much loss. He knew that God was in control of it all. And we've got to know that. If we're going to deal with the storms, if we're going to deal with the crisis, we've got to realize that He's in control of the winds. And that helps us. When we realize that He's the master of the winds, what that does is helps us to accept them as a part of God's plan. And God has the best plan. God has the best plan. Believe it or not, you do not have the best plan for your life. Believe it or not, you do not have the best plan for your children's life or your grandchildren's life. God does. And everything works according to plan. Why do we spend so much time? Why do we spend so much effort fighting God's plan? Struggling against God's plan for our lives. We see also that in the storms, there are times when you just have to let go. You just have to let go. We see in verse 15, "And when the ship was caught," that is, in the tempestuous wind, "and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." In other words, we let go. Wasn't anything they could do anyway. They let go. The winds were blowing from all directions. Wasn't anything they could do to stop it. Wasn't anything they could do to stop the winds. The wind seemed out of control. So they let go. You know what our problem is? Many times in the storm, we just refuse to stop steering the ship. We insist, "I'm going to steer this thing." Yeah, and you're going to steer it into another storm. And many times, if you just let go, you get through that storm. But we insist on steering the ship, as if we know better than God. But the best way to handle the storms, the best way to deal with the crisis, many times we just have to let go of our plans. The storms come, you say, "This isn't what I planned on." Well, you'd better change your plans, because God's in control. There are times we have to change our purposes. We have to change our whims. And many times God will send the storm to get us to let go. It's because we're not going to let go until there is a storm. So this is one another reason, many times, for the storms. We have to let go. And we are to hold unto everything in this world with a loose hand, ready to let go. I think of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham loved Isaac, loved him dearly. But Abraham was willing to let Isaac go for God. And that should be true of everything in our lives. We come to a point where we're willing to let go. That's true when a loved one is dying. God will bring you to a point where you're willing to let go. And we have to learn that lesson over and over and over and over again. Not just in death, but we learn that lesson. God's teaching us that lesson all the time. He's always telling us, just let go. Just let go. Just let go and trust me. So we're to hold everything with a loose hand, ready to let go. Job said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away." And I want to say, the Lord is good in giving, and He's just as good in taking away. Same God. Same God does both. So it is the realization that He is the master of the wind. When we fully realize that, now we are enabled to let go. You know why we have a hard time letting go? Because we're not fully convinced that He has everything in control. We still believe, I've got to control this situation. But if you believe that God's in absolute control, you can let go. You can let go. And that'll get you through the storm. We see also in the storms, in a crisis, we begin to learn what we don't need. We begin to learn that there's some things that we need to just get rid of. We learn what's important. Storms teach us what's important. We have a tendency to lose sight of what's important. But the storms do teach us. And we see in verse 18 and verse 19, "And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship." And then notice in verse 38, "And when they had eaten enough, they lighted the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea." Three examples of them throwing overboard things that were going to hinder them from getting through this storm. So in the storm, they would begin to look around. And as they looked around, they saw some things that needed to be thrown overboard. And in the midst of the storm, we need to take an inventory. Because every one of us in our lives have some things that need to be thrown overboard. There are things in every one of our lives that we need to abandon, we need to get rid of. And sometimes it takes a storm to cause us to realize that. And you know something else? The longer that they were in the storm, the more they realized, hey, this needs to be thrown overboard. The longer that storm went on, and the more dangerous it became, hey, we don't need this. Let's get rid of it. This thing could sink us. So there was a time of crisis in the midst of the storm, take inventory and throw overboard that which needs to be thrown overboard. The sad thing is today, many of God's people, they're in the midst of storm and they get rid of the things they need and keep what they don't need. We need to throw overboard some things. We see also that Paul believed God. He believed God. It's easy to believe God when the paychecks are coming in, you're making more money than you can possibly spend. It's easy. It's easy to believe God when everything is going smooth. It's easy for someone to stand up and say, "I believe God." But as the waves and the winds were beating upon the ship, in the midst of all the confusion, and when all hope was gone that they would be saved, Paul stood up and he said, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God." You see, it was in the midst of the storm that Paul believed God. And it's in the time of storm, it's in the time of crisis that you just have to refuse to give way to unbelief. Refuse to give way to unbelief. Because I assure you, in the time of storm, in the time of crisis, the devil is there whispering, "Where's your God now?" Paul said, "I believe God." Don't give in to unbelief. But when Paul stood up and said, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God." Now I believe Paul is just like any of the rest of us. He has an imagination. He could imagine what was going to happen. And just like any of the rest of us, he had some anxieties. But I want you to know that Paul did not allow his imagination, he did not allow his anxieties to hinder his belief in God. Don't let your imagination overpower your belief in the Lord. Don't allow your anxieties to overpower your belief in the Lord. Paul is saying, no matter what happens, I believe God. I believe God. When that loved one is dying, whether they're made well or whether they die, you believe God. No matter what, you just keep on believing the Lord. He says, I believe God. That is, Paul believed what he knew of God. You and I don't know everything of God, but we know some things. And whatever it is we know, we need to believe what we know. Believe what you know of God. I'm telling you, that'll get you through the storm. That'll get you through many a crisis. Paul had personal assurance. He had personal confidence in who God was. He agreed with what he knew of God. If you believe something, you are in agreement with it. So Paul is saying, I'm in agreement with God. In the midst of the storm, you'd better be in agreement with the Lord. For I believe God. Again, keep in mind it was a time of change. It was a time of danger. It was a time of loss. It was a time of darkness. It was a time of weariness. It was a time of hopelessness. It was a time of great distress. Yet Paul's faith was unwavering. We need faith in the time of storms. And then lastly, in the time of storm, we need to abide in the place where God has promised to keep us. In verse 30, the shipmen were about to leave the ship. They were about to jump overboard. And in verse 41, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. The reasoning of man is, if the ship is in danger, if it looks like the ship is going to sink, you get out of that ship. That's the reasoning of man. That is not necessarily the plan of God. And that's why people all the time, and there's so many examples that warn against this in the Word of God. Things get rough in a certain location. It's where God has put you. Things begin to get rough. Your first thought is, I've got to leave. I've got to go somewhere where it's better. No, you just trust God. And you be determined that you are not going to leave the place where God has promised to keep you. Whether you can figure out how He's going to keep you, that's not your business. Your business is simply to trust God. And that's what they did. We see that in verse 22, Paul was told that the ship was going to be lost. He was told that. The ship's going to be destroyed, Paul. But verse 44, we see they held on to the broken pieces of the ship. And if it's the place where God has promised to keep you, I don't care if all that's left is broken pieces, you hang on to the broken pieces. You hang on. You don't let go. You don't leave that. And you'll get through the storm. You'll get through the storm. You'll get through the crisis. So in the time of crisis and the midst of the storm, do not let go where God has promised to keep you. Do not leave that place where God has placed you. Because when you do, all you're doing is inviting more storms. And your ability to handle the storms is gone. It's gone. How many lives have been ruined because people would not stay where God put them? Storms and crisis will come to all of us. And again, it's important that we handle these things in a way that brings God glory, in a way that manifests Jesus Christ in our lives. So many allow the storms and the crisis to control them, rather than surrendering to the one who is in control of the storm, rather than surrendering to the one who is in control of the crisis. It's a crisis to us. There is no crisis with God. None whatsoever. So be prepared at any price to do the will of God. Think of others. Be ready to encourage others. Maintain fellowship with God at all times. Realize who you are. Realize what you're here for. Realize that God is in control of the winds. And then be willing to let go. Just be willing to let go and trust God. Take inventory. Throw overboard anything that needs to be gone. And the whole time, believe God. Never stop believing God. And stay where God has put you. Never leave the will of God. And those things will enable you to get through the storm. They will enable you to get through the crisis in a way that will bring honor and glory to the Lord. Again, it's not a question tonight of whether or not there will be storms. There will be. Many may be in a storm right now. Maybe in the worst storm of your whole life. But you can get through it. You can get through every storm and every crisis. But there's a right way. You can't do it your way. Your way won't work. Your way won't work for getting through these storms. But I'm telling you, God's way will. So we need to trust Him. And we need to just let go. And take a look back. Take a look back on some of the storms that you've already gone through. And then look beyond, before your storm took place. And see how God had the right people in the right place at the right time. And how God just ordered events that prepared you for that storm. How can we not trust Him? We need to just trust Him. Lean upon Him. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.